Welcome to Leadership Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Laura Penn, founder of the Leadership Speaking School. We're based in Switzerland, and we train global leaders how to speak in public. Today's episode is about challenging best practices in public speaking. I am calling out what is broken and needs to be fixed in my industry. This disrupts the status quo in public speaking, and the right time is now to do this work, because we are living in a time of change. So let's get busy fixing what doesn't work in speaking so that we can make meaningful connections with our audiences and so that our messages matter. I want to get straight into it. The first best practice that I want to challenge is this one: that PowerPoint presentations are an acceptable standard in public speaking. First, I want you to react to that statement. How do you feel inside your bones when I say that? What is it that bubbles up for you? Do you believe this? Are you a fan of PowerPoint? Do you use it a lot? Or are you sick and tired of this medium of communication? What are your feelings? Become self-aware of what they are as you listen further. Clearly, PowerPoint presentations are the status quo. In fact, in schools all over Switzerland, I'm aware of the fact that young people are learning in primary school how to use PowerPoint to convey their messages. It's a format, it's a standard, it's replicable. It allows a speaker to put a lot of information in one place, like a little collector of sorts. And this information we're all familiar with. These slides in the slide deck containing words, numbers, images, and they help to support the greater message. In fact, that's how they're supposed to be used, as supports. And I find over and over and over again that people are misusing this platform, and in fact, overusing it. They're over-reliant on it. It's a full-bodied crutch for the whole presentation, to the extent that many speakers that I see and cringe looking at are reading from their own PowerPoint slides, like those were their speaking notes. Now, let me just break this down a little bit deeper by going into a case study that I saw a couple of weeks ago that blew my mind, and not in a good way. Let me paint the picture for you. It was a plenary session for a conference for CFOs. Imagine a sea of 300 blue suits, because that's how many men were in the audience, and there were five ladies. I was one of them. A sea of blue suits sitting there and listening to the introduction for the keynote speaker. Everybody was excited about this speaker because this is a professor emeritus in his subject, a really distinguished gentleman in his 80s, was going to grace the conference with his wisdom for 40 minutes. So the introduction ends and the speaker arrives on stage. There's a hush of silence in the room. People make small adjustments to get ready for the download they're about to receive in this juicy subject. And this may be what other people were experiencing as the speaker was preparing to walk on that stage. What I was experiencing was some dread, anxious anticipation. I was worried, you see. I was thinking, this is an older gentleman. Which paradigm of speaking is he going to show up in? Is he going to be in the old paradigm, I asked myself? Or is he going to be in the new paradigm, hoping that he'd be in a version of the new one? To be clear, the old paradigm for public speaking is the classic scenario. Standing at a podium, holding the podium with two hands, firmly, looking down at notes more than the speaker is looking out at the audience. An attachment to the slides, communicating more with the slides than the audience. This is kind of the old paradigm. And the new paradigm, and we are thankful for the TED Talks out there for this new paradigm, where a speaker is standing and you can see their full body. There's no podium blocking them. The speaker has rehearsed their talk, so it's flowy and conversational and engaging. The speaker uses slides, but not to excess. It's just enough. This is the new paradigm. So there I am with this anticipation, thinking, okay, what's gonna happen? How's this gonna go down? And you guessed it. This speaker, the old and wise Professor Emeritus, was very much in the old paradigm. And he launched with a really dry introduction, still looking down at his notes, still holding that podium firmly, still not looking anywhere at the audience or connecting with us, or even making it obvious that we were in the room. He might as well have been alone there. It was a full-on monologue, not a dialogue. So he proceeded this way for 40 minutes. And it was fascinating not only to watch him in this state of total unawareness of what was going on around him, and to watch what the audience was doing. And the audience started to shift in their chairs uncomfortably instantly. And then you saw people looking at each other with these nervous smiles, kind of like saying, is this for real? Did this organization just put this keynote speaker on this stage? And then people got their smartphones out and started fiddling with those. The whole thing just degenerated into chaos. This gentleman, besides all the things that he was doing, not connecting with the audience, standing behind the podium and so on, his slides were out of control. There were too many of them. They were totally crowded. I couldn't read a word on any of the slides because the font was too small, or there were six different font families and font sizes happening, and my brain had had enough. This was not working. So in my fantasy, sitting there, I started to create an alternative reality for this talk. I started to think, what could he be doing instead? And that's what I want to share with you. For any of you out there who are stuck in this old paradigm of speaking, who are using PowerPoint presentations the wrong way. Again, the right way to use them is as support. Some information here and there that supports your talk. Your ratio of speaking should be larger than your ratio of depending on your slides. Does that make sense? Back into my fantasy world. Here's one thing that I wish that he was doing, and that I wish I could have adjusted for him magically with my speaker coach wand as I was watching him fail. Less is more. Yeah. So from the get-go, again, too much information on those slides. Cut that slide deck by half, or even more. This gentleman had a lifetime of experience talking about this subject. Imagine the richness of a conversation with him without slides. He'd be well equipped to just talk off the cuff about this topic in a way that he's probably used to doing when people at a dinner table ask him what he does. I would have liked to have seen that approach, that non-reliance on the slides or having much fewer slides. One more thing that I wish I could have magically waved him to do is I wanted him to spend more time talking to the audience, not turning his head and his back to the audience and talking to that freaking slide on the wall. That slide is inanimate, not living, no heartbeat. We are objects of life sitting in front of him. 300 plus people, we deserve that attention, not the PowerPoint slide. An amateur speaker or a speaker who has no self-awareness of this important detail will speak to the slide, will turn around, and will, for heaven's sakes, read the slide, which he did more times than I can count. Each time I died a little inside, and I thought, you have got to be kidding me. What you want to do in this situation is spend more time looking at your audience than looking at your slides. You also want to give the audience the respect of knowing that they can read themselves and say things like, let me give you a moment to read this quote that I love. I don't want you reading the quote unless you're really good at it, because you'll probably botch it. Give the audience some air. Let them do the reading. Let them do the looking, not you. And by the way, you should be rehearsed enough to know what your slides are. And or you should have a laptop or another screen in front of you so you can always have your focus forward. You don't have to look back. You use your arms for that. Holding the arm back and kind of showing like a ta-da moment with your arm so that your audience will look at the slide without you having to look at it as well. Now, I recognize in a world of CFOs, there's going to be a lot of graphs and a lot of numbers, things that are hard not to look at if you're presenting the slides. But there is still that ratio that I want you to pay attention to, that you should still look more at the audience than at your slides. So I really wish that he would have fixed that. It would have changed a lot, frankly. Because when a speaker is disconnected, why should we be connected? Why should the audience pay attention if the speaker isn't paying attention to us? This is something to keep in mind and to think about. The final thing that I wish I could have waved magic into this man's keynote through is I wish he would have used some good old mixed media. That's right. Not just the PowerPoint slides. Not just his monologue standing there behind the podium. This is boring with a capital B. We are living in the 21st century and we've got options, people. We've got options. In fact, something that's not 21st century, but something that's old school and would have been very refreshing in this particular talk, is a flip chart. Bring a flip chart into the mixed media. Use that. Draw something. Write a number. Make a graph. Do something that is physically engaging. Engage us in the suspense of what it is that you're going to create on that flip chart. You can also use things like props, an actual object that you've brought with you that you uncover or take out of a bag. People love that excitement, that participation. Think of things that stimulate people's senses. So not just the sense of looking at your slides, not just the sense of listening to what you have to say, but we have other senses. Engage those. In fact, the more you engage our senses, the more we're going to pick up the information you're trying to share with us. So those are three things that I wish he would have done differently. And three things that I know many people who are stumped and living in this world, stuck in PowerPoint presentation mode, don't do enough of. I hope this gives you some inspiration. If you're one of those people that is stuck in the status quo, it is time to disrupt that status quo, people. It is time to challenge this best practice and improve it. Do something different. Shake things up. Upskill. Elevate. Make your experience with the audience a dialogue, not a monologue. Activate them instead of deactivating them through this tired method of overusing your slides, etc., etc. The right time is now. The second best practice that I want to challenge today is the following. That speaker coaching can be done superficially, and that this is enough to ensure a great speaking performance. Let me just synthesize that with a shorter sentence. Superficial speaker coaching is enough to ensure a great speaking performance. What does that mean? Let me unpack that, okay? Superficial speaker coaching, I want you to imagine this. You know, it's a high-stakes talk is coming up, like the next day or in a few hours. And a professional speaker coach like me is invited into the room to work with the group of speakers. And that speaker coach cleans up the small little messy edges and gets the people, in quotations, ready for their big moment. This is superficial speaker coaching. And I am challenging that this works. I personally don't feel it does because it doesn't go deep enough. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a wound. The wound is still there. Okay, maybe speaking isn't a wound. Maybe that's not a good metaphor. It's not very positive. But it's still a Band-Aid solution. It's not deep. Why does it need to be deep? Why is this important? I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, I'm going to say that I recently turned down a really nice, lucrative opportunity to work with 15 speakers the day before their talk. I was asked to come in and be part of their dress rehearsal to get them polished and ready. And I said no, respectfully, because that is not even close to being enough time to make a significant impact in these speaking performances. I should have been involved way at the beginning and throughout. And the dress rehearsal is just the cherry on top of the cake. You can't, as a speaker, learn what you're supposed to be learning enough if this is going to be served to you at the last minute. Too much time has gone by. You're too deep inside the process that you've put yourself through in your own rehearsal to make any significant changes or adjustments. Let me tell you something important here. And some of you may not understand this, but this is important to understand why I would say no to something like this. You need to understand that there's a package here called the art of rehearsal. And the art of rehearsal has two really distinct components. The first component is the first part of this, which is the creation of content. And this is where the speaker spends a lot of time. I like to have about a month and a half to do this with the people I work with. A lot of time to create different iterations of the talk. It's the kind of thing you need time for. So you have a notebook next to your bed kind of scenario, and you wake up in the middle of the night with an idea related to your content. You write it down. Or first thing when you wake up in the morning, you write down what you were dreaming about related to your talk. You need time to process this and to marinate. So this is the first stage of the art of rehearsal, creating that content. And in a good process, your speaker coach should be involved in that process with you to help bring that to life and to move you through the content creation, where you get to the end of that phase, loving what you're going to be talking about, absolutely infatuated with your content and feeling good. That's when you know that phase is finished. After this phase, the second phase is the delivery rehearsal. And this is where you really do full-on, hands-on work with your speaker coach. And I want to tell you that there's a very big difference between practice and rehearsal. Practice is doing one skill over and over and over again. Think of juggling. Yeah, you got those little beanbag balls, and you are doing the same movement with your body over and over and over again. Okay, that's practice. Rehearsal is this. Listen carefully. It is building layer upon layer of different skills. Did you feel that? Building layer upon layer of different skills. So this means that in a rehearsal for a speaking performance, one layer, for example, is the vocal layer, what you're doing with your voice. So you're practicing that layer and that layer only. And you do that enough times, then you go to the next layer, your body layer, what you're doing with your body, how you're moving with purpose, how you're communicating with it for your talk so that it's congruent with what you're saying. There's another layer. And then there's more layers, of course, on top of that. And this is one of my favorite topics to release into my training session called Leadership Speaking Core that I do. It's a very intensive, high stakes, high impact, highly transformative program for leaders. It takes a week. And this small cohort of no more than 6 people are learning the art of rehearsal so that they know every single step that they need to take from beginning to end of their speaking performances. Anyway, it's important to understand the art of rehearsal in the context of what I'm talking about, this superficial coaching versus deep coaching. Obviously, if you're doing deep coaching and you're involved at the level of content creation and all the way through, a lot of learning can happen. A lot of transformation can happen. But if you're signing up to hang out with some people a couple of hours or a day before they're going to give their high stakes talk, not a lot can happen. So I am challenging this idea in my industry that it's okay to have this short-term stuff. It's not, folks. You need to go deep in order to have a deep transformation. That's how I feel. And that's how real work is done in my field. Not some, vanilla version. No, this is the real stuff. Besides this, you have a responsibility as a speaker coach, and I take this very seriously, to bring the people that you're working with to a place of comfort, where they feel empowered enough to do this work and self-reliant enough to do it well. And I feel that this last-minute superficial coaching doesn't bring people to a place of comfort. I'd say that it does the opposite. I'd say that it fosters anxiety and makes people more nervous because now they're trying to remember what the speaker coach told them in addition to all the other stuff that they've got going on in their mind. That's my challenge. It's not enough. Doesn't go deep enough. So here we are at the end of this podcast episode. I hope that you recognize that these two ideas that I am challenging are related to disruption, to doing something differently. And this is leadership speaking, folks. This will disrupt the status quo for how we speak in front of audiences. When you do different things than what the expectations and the status quo is. I hope that you found this episode helpful and that you can apply what you've learned to your own speaking. I look forward to bringing you another episode next week where I will unpack more leadership speaking gold. I look forward to that. And in the meantime, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.